You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Thursday, April 29th, 2021. I can't believe May is already here. Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP. And smash the podcast button so you subscribe to it and get the show once it goes live. Speaking of the Derby, the 147th Run for the Roses, we will talk to our good buddy Uncle Kirk Rockwell, longtime horse handicapper. Kirk actually doesn't like the betting favorite or even the second favorite, and he will share his Kentucky Derby betting strategy with us. So that'll be coming up later on in the show. Sammy Pucks making a return tonight. I like the under 5.5 in Boston and Buffalo. I had to laugh at the price, though, on the Bruins. The biggest betting price of their entire season. They are minus 400 tonight at home against Buffalo. That implies an 80% chance of probability. And this is, like I said, the biggest favorite the Bees have been all year. They've been favored near $3 four times against Buffalo. Last four meetings. Minus $3, minus $3.10, minus $2.95, minus $3.08. And let's start by stating the obvious. Don't lay minus $4 in a random regular season hockey game. I get it. I know the Sabres suck. They're fucking awful. But the betting juice is not worth the squeeze. If you lose $100 bet at minus 400, you have to win four just to break even. I had buddies back in the day, used to love Cliff Lee when he was an Indian and a Ranger. He would be minus 400, minus 430 when they would face teams like the Orioles. And he would lose one, and people would go, how did he lose? That's the risk you run when you lay minus 400 on a baseball or a hockey game. Two of the most random sports in the world. Let's say you lose that first bet for 100, minus 400. You're down 400 already. And you have to win four of those just to come over the top and break even. You're down 400. You win the next four, minus three, minus two, minus one, break even. That sucks, and that's why you shouldn't lay minus 400. Juice kills, we know that. But the betting market opened 5.5 over 15, and the under has flipped to a slight favorite. Some minus 15, some minus 12, plenty of 5.5 flat readily available. I tweeted it out at ChickenXDinner. We're going under 5.5 goals. I just don't like Buffalo to score and light a lot of lamps, especially considering the anomaly, the outburst they had last Friday when the Sabres somehow scored six goals despite only scoring six in the first five meetings. So I think that was a smelling salt moment for Boston. All right, we ain't letting this shit happen again. Let's lock it up. Let's clamp down, and let's play a responsible 200-foot game in front of Jeremy Swayman. I would imagine the Bees will have their full attention into this hockey game. It's hard when you play a team three times in a row. That scheduling sucks. On April 20th, the Bees won 2-0 against Buffalo. April 22nd, 5-1. So two wins in 3 days, and then you have to face Buffalo again, and Buffalo... It starts to become an issue of morale and pride. Buffalo's not trying to get smacked around three times in 4 days by the same team. So they came out of the jump, skated well with a purpose, and they won that game 6-4. But that is an anomaly. So I do like the under 5.5. Also, I talked to Dwayne Colucci from the Rampart. He's going to come on our show once the hockey postseason is settled. Very sharp handicapper and bookmaker when it comes to the ice. I asked Colucci yesterday about potential first-round series prices with the Bruins because I'm curious to know how real the respect is. I know the books respect the Bruins, even though it's been an up-and-down type season. Tuukka Rask missed half the year with injuries. Their blue line has been battered and bruised. So many injuries to two, three defensemen at a time. But when they're healthy, the books respect them. Remember, Boston was 6-7-1 in Vegas after the first 15 games. That's to win the Stanley Cup. Then they got cold. They got hurt. The price shot up to 20-1. And here we are. We're looking at 10, 12. Some books have 13-1 on the Bees to win the Cup. But what is the price in the first round? Question mark. Assuming it's either Washington or Pittsburgh in the 1-4 matchup, or potentially say the Bees are the 3 seed, they leap the Islanders, they get the 3. Either way, they're going to face Washington or Pittsburgh. And Dwayne said, you know, Bees are going to be a very, very small dog. Well, how small? He said the favorite might only be minus 130, which on the comeback would be plus 110. So even though Boston could be the 4 seed in the East Division, they'll be just above even money in a first-round series. That tells you everything you need to know about the respect that the books have for Boston. For context purposes, Carolina, in their first-round series against Nashville or Dallas, Colucci said they'd be at least minus 300. That's where he starts, minus 300. So that's a 1-4 matchup where Carolina is a $3 favorite or more. In the East, a 1-4 matchup with Boston as the 4, the favorite minus 130. Think about that. NFL draft, you know where my bread is buttered. We are a Kyle Pitts household. If he goes over 5.5, I will cry. I am not even kidding. We've got Pitts under 5.5. We've got Pitts to be the first non-quarterback taken. We've got a flyer on Pitts, 40-1 to go third overall. I was texting with some of the boys last night in Vegas. Alan Berg from WinBet, he said, I will die if Justin Fields goes second and Kyle Pitts goes third. I said, so will I. Andy Molitor from the Deep Dive podcast, he's buddies with Drew Dinsick. He tweeted out this morning, what is your worst case scenario for tonight betting wise? Molitor adds, fewer than 18 offensive players in the first appears to be my, quote, I don't need water with my whiskey, I'll just use my tears scenario. So I had to quote it. Kyle Pitts over 5.5 would crush me. We have a couple other draft positions outside of the Pitts brigade. J.C. Horn under 13.5, minus 15. I saw a couple under 12.5, minus 140 yesterday. So I'm glad we attacked on Horn when we did. We also have Mac Jones under 17.5 from way back in March. So those are the 3 draft plays on Chicken Dinner. I really, really think Kyle Pitts is going 4th overall. I don't understand the love for these quarterbacks. I get you need a quarterback to win in the NFL. I mean, look no further than the championship games last year. In the NFC, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. In the AFC, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You need a quarterback to trek through the postseason. But really? Trey Lance? Mac Jones? Atlanta could certainly trade out of 4. But after Lawrence goes 1, and I'm guessing it's Zach Wilson 2, his price is minus 2,500 to go second, although I wouldn't take him second. I would take Justin Fields if I was picking 2 or 3. If he was available, he's the guy for me. But assuming it goes the way the numbers say, Lawrence 1, Wilson 2, Jones 3, we know that teams are down on Fields. I don't get why a team would trade up to 4 to take the 4th quarterback on the board. I don't know. Atlanta should keep the pick and get a talented tight end slash wide receiver. Target for Matt Ryan. Imagine the jump ball possibilities. Ryan drops back, lofts one up, and here's Pitts, 6'6", 250. Leaping, catching the ball at its peak, touchdown. That could happen for 3-4 years with that combo. And then eventually you add another quarterback because Matt Ryan's already 35 years old. Obviously, quarterbacks have proven they can play 38, 39, 40, some even older than that, Tom Brady. But I would not be taking a quarterback with the fourth pick. You missed the best wave. And even if Fields goes third and it's Lawrence Wilson Fields, why would you trade up for Mac Jones or Trey Lance? You need a quarterback, but you also need the right quarterback. I just don't get reaching for a quarterback when 1, 2, and 3 just went off the board with quarterbacks. But that's me. A lot of movement in the draft markets yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater got traded to the Broncos about 5 minutes before I did an NFL draft show with Fox yesterday afternoon. So I didn't get to see the way the market moved immediately. But an hour goes by. The show's done. We put a ribbon on it. Great show with J-Mac and Jeff Schwartz. And we broke down all things NFL draft for about 55 minutes or so. I got to the computer at Nesson, and I log on to all the apps. I'm checking DraftKings and FanDuel, PointsBet, FoxBet, all the American books that have the exotic markets and have a lot of them. And at multiple American sports books yesterday, Justin Fields, after that trade, Bridgewater to Denver, Justin Fields was the betting favorite to land with the New England Patriots. And that tweet exploded. You don't know what you're talking about. They're not going to take Justin Fields. You can't predict what Belichick's going to do. I literally said none of that. Here's the tweet verbatim. Justin Fields is now favored to be drafted by the Patriots at multiple American sportsbooks. Fact. A lot of things have to go their way, obviously, but bookmakers are bracing for Bill Belichick to make a move. Fact. The market tells a story. Fact. Just that tweet went viral. It was all over New England, radio stations, news outlets, they're all retweeting it. And of course, you get the fallout from that, and you get the morons that reply to the tweets. You don't know shit. I literally gave you facts and nothing else. Belichick isn't going to do that. You don't know anything. I never said Belichick was going to do anything, idiot. The way this works, the books are bracing, and that was why I wrote the word bracing. They are preparing for the potential of people to load up on the Patriots. Because you look at the writing on the wall, and assuming 1, 2, 3 go quarterback, 5, 6, 7, 8 don't need a quarterback. And one of the quarterbacks, if not more, are going to slide. It could be two quarterbacks. Now that the Broncos just traded for Bridgewater, they probably don't need to take another quarterback. So all of a sudden, it's an enticing situation for somebody to move up, make a trade, and take a quarterback at number 9. And these American books are putting 2 and 2 together and thinking, uh-oh, this could be Belichick. It's not that the books are saying it's going to happen. It's literally them getting ahead of the curve and limiting the liability. That's all this is. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the same thing that happened when I had that tweet about a month ago about Russell Wilson being favored to be a Chicago Bear. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's the combination of a couple bets, boom, 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 the movement and the slashing of the price, because Fields was, I think, 8 or 9 to 1 to be a Patriot. And after the trade, they knock him down to 350, and now this morning, it's 3 to 1 at some books. They are getting ahead of the curve and limiting the liability. But the Pats are still the betting favorite for Fields. All of these things are true. But people read that tweet, and they get so reactionary, and they go, he's not going to the Patriots. Well, yes, no kidding. Let me give you some math on it. Even though they are the betting favorite, which they are, as we've stated multiple times now, 3 to 1 implies a 25% chance of probability. So even though they're the betting favorite, they're not a big favorite. Favorite just means they're at the top of the betting board. A favorite at minus 300 at the top of the board is a favorite. A favorite at plus 300 is still a favorite at the top of the board. But a plus 300 favorite is only 25%. So there's a 75% chance that Fields doesn't end up in New England. But people telling me how the betting markets work, it's just, it's so ironic. They don't know what they're talking about, but they're telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Whatever. A lot of really interesting hockey trends, and I bookmarked this page about a month ago and forgot to follow up. I know Alex Smith follows this guy, Chris Otto. If you're betting hockey, you should check his stuff out daily. The account at PSU Otto, PSU Otto, O-T-T-O. He puts together a lot of trends and a lot of streaks. For example, every day on the Twitter page, he pins the tweet, here are the big hitters. New Jersey Devils to score a goal in the first 10 minutes. 19-3 to the yes in the last 22 games. Trends don't pay the rent, but they do at 19-3. Vegas Golden Knights, goal in the first 10. 20-4 to the yes, last 24. Los Angeles Kings, goal in the first 10. 12-3 to the yes, last 15. Toronto Maple Leafs, goal in the first 10. 9-1, yes, last 10. So you get a sense for this, and obviously you've missed the big runs on a lot of these teams, but you can remember this and check this because it's hard to go against a run while the run is hot. He's got runs on his Twitter page, at PSU Auto, 19-3, 20-4, 12-3, 12-2, 9-1, 10 in a row, 15-3, 13-5, 16-4, 11-2, 27-7, 8 in a row, 16-2, you get the picture. Eventually, these runs will come to a halt. Well, maybe not a halt. They're going to slow. And unfortunately, the hockey season is almost over. But this is a resource that you should use going forward. I tell the story all the time. Jimmy Vaccaro told me adamantly on VSiN. I was like, hey, Jimmy, the Celtics are 10-0 as an underdog this year at home. Trends don't pay the rent, kid. I said, Jimmy, if I'm 10-0 in 10 games, I can pay the rent with that. There was just dead silence, and then I had to change the subject. But I get it. I'm not the trend guy. Trends are not the end-all be-all. But a trend, 10-0 or 12-2 or 27-7, those trends do pay the rent. So check out Chris Otto on Twitter. And he does all this stuff for free. I have to tell the Pat story before I get to the horsies that I like in the Derby. This was back in the 2017 Kentucky Derby, which was ran on May 6th, 2017. I had some buddies. We all found out that Patch was a one-eyed horse in the Derby. And we found this out, I think, in mid-April, late April. So we were all in on Patch because he's a cool-looking horse with an eye patch. Good enough for us at the time. Patch on the morning line on the opener was 30-1. So we thought, wait a minute, he has an eye patch and he's 30-1? We're in. The boys were loaded on Patch. We had Patch to win, to place. We had Patch in boxes. We exacted. We tried. We had everything. Beautiful horse. Eye patch and everything. Problem is, Patch drew the 20 hole. So he was all the way on the outside. And the other issue was that we failed to realize that the one eye was on the outside, too. So poor Patch couldn't see the rest of the field. The eye was away from all the other horses. So, you know, we're sitting at the bar. We're getting ready. We're loaded up. We got Patch. We're pounding on the bar. And Patch breaks poorly and finishes, I think, 14th. Yeah, 14th. 20 post, 14 finish. Always Dreaming won that year out of the five shoot. Todd Pletcher horse at 5-1. But we were not really handicapping the horse on anything aside from the fact that he had an eye patch. We then proceeded to drink picklebacks until we fell over. But that was the story of betting Patch. Probably the second worst derby I've ever had. Just behind the Maximum Security gaffe. When Maximum Security won, I think we had 7 or 8-1. and the horse won, but then got disqualified. Oh, that was a nightmare. I know Uncle Kirk had Maximum Security. He had a future, too, on the horse. So he didn't have the closing number that we all got. He had the horse at a locked-in price. That horse won the Florida Derby and then won the Kentucky Derby. But it came out because there was a disqualification. He, like, nudged another horse. And then a country horse ended up winning that Derby, which blew up the board. Country horse on the morning line was 30-1 and then closed at 60-1 or something. If you get a horse you like, pair it with a long shot and an exacta box. The exacta box is when you take as many horses as you want and you get both positions, win and place, first or second. So in this year's Derby, if you take a horse that I like, Rock Your World, the 15 at 5-1, and exact the box, Rock Your World with Superstock, you get both horses both ways. So if Superstock wins and Rock Your World comes in second, you win the exact the box. It's sort of like a parlay, but you get them both ways. Trifecta is 3, superfecta is 4. I wouldn't be doing any superfecta boxes. Exacta boxes are good, and you can always key in horses you like. We'll talk more about this with Uncle Kirk in just a few moments. But the two horses I really like in this field, Rock Your World out of Santa Anita at 5-1. I just mentioned Rock Your World. Very good speed, very good finisher. The other horse is Hot Rod Charlie. Hat tip to Uncle Kirk on that one. Hot Rod Charlie won the Louisiana Derby, and Kirk likes that horse a whole lot. Best name in the field, the 19, Soup and Sandwich. But I've learned my lesson. No longer bet on eye patches or names. I like Rock Your World. I like Hot Rod Charlie. Box them, wheel them, let's go. Joining us now on Chicken Dinner, as the Kentucky Derby is only days away, we have to talk to Uncle Kirk. There's only one man we could talk to for the big race. At Winning Angle, Kirk Rockwell joining us again on the show. You're live out of Kentucky right now, aren't you?
Chicken Dinner, man. Yeah, good to be back. Yeah, sitting in a hotel room right now, getting ready to head over there. So all good, man. Kentucky, love it.
What are you wearing to the race?
I got a nice little suit. I got a purple tie, like a lavender, button-down shirt. Got my jacket. Yeah, I'll look nice. You know, I'll clean up. It's actually the same outfit I wore a few years back when one of the horses that I was a partner with got us to the Florida Derby. And so I'll have that. I got my cowboy hat. I'm ready to go.
I'm picturing you in a lavender shirt. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. No, exactly. I had to style it up, though. I got my boots and I got my cowboy hat. So, you know, it'll be, my little twist on Derby Day.
For those that are new to Chicken Dinner and aren't familiar with our relationship, why don't you tell the people when you first started handicapping horse racing?
Oh, I started handicapping horse racing when I was about 16 years old, 15, 16 years old, high school right here in South Florida. I live in South Florida here. Pompano Harness Racetrack, still there. My girlfriend at the time in high school, her dad used to be a teller, a ticket writer, you know, at the tellers or whatever. So to keep an eye on us, he said, yeah, come to the track, you know, and, you know, you guys have fun and, you know, I'll buy you a hot dog or pizza or whatever. And, at the time, you know, my mom and dad, he gave me like $20 for the night. And so instead of, you know, spending money on a date night, he would take care of us with the food and all that over there. So I started using my money to do like just $2 place and show bets over at the harness track. And, you know, we started on Friday, Saturday nights. And yeah, it caught on with me, made a little money. Then harness led to quarter horse racing at Pompano's and Gulfstream. And here we are today.
And you're the mayor at Gulfstream. I have never seen a man tackle the race form and tackle the sheets more than you have. You are so information driven. You're spitting out stats and numbers. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, but you're very analytical. You have a feel to your handicapping too, but it's a very well-rounded blend, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, and we also tackle the bartender when we get a chance as well, so that always helps. And I'm going to try to take that to Kentucky, too, with the bourbon and the mint juleps and all that good stuff.
What's the most important part when you look at a race like the Kentucky Derby? It's not like every other race. We're not betting on the sixth race at Gulfstream. You know what I mean? This is a different monster.
No.
There are horses for courses. And this is, I know we're going to have you on and talk about the race, but this is not an easy race to handicap. Where do you even start at Churchill Downs?
I mean, this is just one, you know, it's a specific race. And looking at it, I go just basically off some of their workouts, and then basically the big factor I look at is the past races. Where are they coming from? Because now with the new point system for the Kentucky Derby, it's all point driven. So the Florida Derby is worth 100 points if you win, so you're automatically going to get in. Second place gets 50, and third place gets, you know, 20 or 30 points. And there's races all around the country. So some of these horses that are in the field are coming from, I mean, look, no disrespect to like the King, who won the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park, but to have that race equivalent to what the Florida Derby and the Arkansas Derby and the Santa Anita Derby, you know, it's just, you got to look to see where they're coming from. And, you know, I go off that and what the fields were like and who they raced and, you know, and how that transforms into the Kentucky Derby.
Which horses are not going to get a wager from Uncle Kirk? Which ones have bad positions or bad jockeys or maybe both?
Probably Brooklyn Strong would be my first one. He basically just got in this week, and he's coming from Parks Race Course. Now, God bless him. I mean, he might go 99-1. He could be 250-1 when the race starts, but, you know, he may win, who knows, and whatever. But I looked at him, and he looks like, man, he's just a tiny horse, and he's getting in. Basically, he has 10 points. So it just kind of fell down to him. He'd probably be ranked number 30 on the points list because he came in, I think, third place in one of the races, lesser-known races. But, yeah, he would definitely not get a bet from me. Anyone coming from Tampa Bay, too. I don't like Tampa Bay Downs. I mean, that's just a thing for me over the years. So, yeah, I wouldn't look at him for sure.
That sounds like a deep-rooted East Coast, West Coast thing, though, with Florida for you.
Yes, it's definitely a Florida bias for sure. It's like, you know, we were discussing earlier before the Rock Your World, right? Coming from Santa Anita. And, you know, if you look at Santa Anita and California races, it seems like every time I turn the TV on and watch a race from them, they have like five horses racing in the race. It's like, okay, well, and one horse wins by, you know, six lengths and all the other ones are following them. And just, okay, yeah, he won the Santa Anita Derby, but he beat four horses. It's like, okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah, competition a little bit different. I do like the draw, though, and I like the 15 slot for Rock Your World, and we know he's got the speed, the potential. You're not high on him.
No, I mean, it's not that I'm not high on him. It's just I'm not going to use him, you know, on Saturday. Like I said, John Sadler, the trainer, and Juan Leva, the assistant trainer, I've known him for a long time. He used to race some of the horses I was a partner in here at Gulfstream. And, yeah, the thing I don't like also about Rock Your World, Umberto Rapoli was the jockey that got him the win at Santa Anita Derby, but John Sadler pulled him off immediately. And after Rosario was free when Concert Tour dropped out of the race, so he actually switched jockeys. So the jockey who got him there is not actually going to be riding on Rock Your World. It's going to be Joe Rosario. So there's that kind of little factor too.
These are things I didn't know. That's a problem.
Yeah. So that's kind of like it's not the coolest of moves what he did, but. You know, Rispoli is actually funny. He actually picked up the mount for Brooklyn Strong, who we just talked about, the horse that just got there. So, you know, he might be 251, might be worth putting a buck or two now thinking about it, that he gets the jockey that is off Rocket World. So there you go. It all comes full circle, buddy.
Where do you stand on the horses at the top? Known Agenda has the rail. And this is a horse, you know, the morning line opened 6-1. I saw that 6-1 in the one hole, and I'm thinking, I want no part of this.
Well, you know, and I've actually got a few questions on it already this week that, you know, of course, he's a Florida Derby champion. He's got Irad Ortiz Jr., Todd Pletcher. The difference between the one rail now and having the rail now than it was 5 years ago, is the rail now, or the starting gate, is completely different than what it used to be. There used to be a gap in between, and you used to have, you know, one through, I think it was 14, then they'd have a gap, and then they'd have an alternate gate from 15 to 20. So there was like 6 to 8 feet in between both gates. Well, now they put into play one big starting gate that has 20 slots in it. So IRAD is actually going to have about an extra 6 to 8 feet on the rail to somehow maneuver a trip. But so that definitely helps his cause in this, scenario. But look, IRAD's going to give you, he's going to get everything he has, and he's going to be in it. He's going to be somewhere in the mix there for sure.
The Baffert horses always attract me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Baffert's hair. Maybe it's the success. Maybe it's the sunglasses.
The blue sunglasses.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. It's probably all part of the quiche that goes in the oven. But you look at a horse, Medina Spirit, you know, opened 15-1. Wasn't that horse 4-5 at Santa Anita?
Yes, yes. Again, it was a 5-horse race.
Yeah.
Rock Your World, I believe, was 5-1 in that same race. But yeah, Rock Your World just went wire to wire, and Medina Spirit kind of closed on him a little bit, but just didn't have enough to catch him. The thing about Baffert horses are, for this year, is he actually had 2 studs. I mean, he had Life Is Good, which, I mean, if he's in the Derby now healthy, he probably goes off at 2-5 to 3-5. Just my opinion. He also had Concert Tour, two horses that would be easily be the favorite if they were racing on Saturday. Both of them, of course, out with injury. So Medina Spirit's next up in line. 15-1. I mean, Baffert 15-1. Can't beat that. It's like there's another long shot, Midnight Bourbon. You get Mike Smith on board. I mean, you get Mike Smith at 20-1 morning line. I mean, it's like, geez, you can't beat that.
Is it justified for Essential Quality to be 2-1?
He hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, he's a 2-year-old champion. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, hasn't lost since. He's undefeated. I'm personally not going to use him. I mean, in a 20-horse race like this, 2-1, he's probably going to be 9-5, I would imagine, as it gets close to the starting. Like I said, 10 horses in this race probably don't have a chance, right? So it all depends on the trip, where what happens. You might have a horse that has no business being in this race, maybe bump him or put him out of position. It's just, it's so hard. And to bet a 9-5 or 2-1 shot in a race like this, just can't do it, man. Just can't do it. Not that he's done anything wrong. He might go on and win the Triple Crown, but I'm not going to use him.
You have me very fucking intrigued right now because you don't like the favorite, Essential Quality.
No.
You poo-pooed my Rock Your World. Where do we start? Now you have my full attention. I've got my pen and paper. Let's fill this out.
I'm going to start. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use 3 horses at the top, right? And then we'll talk about 2 long shots. And then we'll get into discussing how we can bet them and stuff like that. I'm first going to use number 9, Hot Rod Charlie. Okay, Hot Rod Charlie. Coming off the Louisiana Derby win. He was actually 2nd in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to Essential Quality last November. That's when I jumped on him. I actually have a ticket on him at 15-1 back in November. So we're gonna stick with Hot Rod Charlie, Doug O'Neill. It's a great story. If you have time, look up the story about Hot Rod Charlie and all the connections and stuff. It's really great. Flavian Pratt, arguably the best West Coast rider. So you get a good one there. He's 8-1, I think, morning line. So he's probably going to stay around there. I don't see him dropping too much. And then he might actually, if you wait, you might actually catch him at 9 or 10-1. So we're going to start with Hot Rod Charlie. Then we're going to go with Known Agenda. Number 1 on the rail. We discussed Irad Ortiz, Todd Fletcher, Florida Derby champion. Has a lot of speed. If Irad wants to use that rail and get out to the front, I mean, you know, like I said, Irad's going to be there at the end. He's going to be in the mix. He's going to give you everything he can. And my 3rd one that I'm going to use up there on top is Highly Motivated. To break in from number 17, we're going to try to break the jinx. No Kentucky Derby horse has ever won from post position number 17, but we're going to try here. He was 2nd in the Bluegrass to Essential Quality. So two of my horses have been chasing Essential Quality. So Highly Motivated actually had the lead on him in the Bluegrass Stakes, and Essential Quality just grinded him down at the end and caught him. Chad Brown looking for his 1st Kentucky Derby win. Javier Castellano in the saddle. So yeah, those are the 3 I'm going to use. Those are my 3 top ones. So if you play them, you can play them like win, play, show. You're probably going to get some good money on them depending on, you know, how they come in. And yeah, so we'll start with them.
Are you boxing those Tri-Exacta?
Yeah, what I was going to do is maybe do a dollar Exacta or a $2 Exacta using those three horses on top and then everybody else below them. So say Hot Rod Charlie wins, right? And then you might have a 90-1 shot coming second, and then you're getting paid really well, because the derby pools are crazy, as you know. I mean, Exactas, Trifectas, everything pays good. Show bets pay good, everything pays good, because there's just so much money in the pools and stuff. So you can do a dollar Exacta wheel. It'll cost you $60. You take those three horses to win, everybody else for second, and then you get half of whatever the Exacta pays.
That was the year, was it 2019, the year that I was really feeling myself. I thought, you know what? I'm a horse expert now. I had Maximum Security. I can't remember the second horse, and then I had Country House, but I needed Maximum Security to win.
Yeah, he was like, I believe he was 50 or 60 to 1, I believe, you know, because of the disqualification, which that was probably one of my worst days.
Oh, buddy, I had that money spent in the 20 minutes after the race.
You and me both. Yeah, that wasn't a pretty day. I had a future ticket on Maximum Security. It was a Florida Derby champ. Let's ride with him. Yeah, terrible.
Oh, you probably had like 60-1. I thought I was really sharp with my 10-1, but you had a much better price.
Oh yeah, no, I had it from the beginning. Yeah, it was Louis Saez. And see that? I mean, ironically, he's actually on Essential Quality, so. You know, that's like a whole, you know, revenge kind of thing for him too now. So, yeah, so you got that going.
Okay, you mentioned long shots. We need some long shots here. I love this idea of potentially keying in Hot Rod Charlie, keying in Known Agenda with all these other horses. So which one could get really interesting down the stretch? Give me a number 20 or higher.
I like Superstock right now as a long shot. He's 30-1 morning line. He's breaking from the 18 post. He just came off an Arkansas Derby win. He's got Ricardo Santana Jr., Steve Asmussen. I mean, a lot to like here. I mean, the post, not the greatest, as you know, but he can do it from the lead. He can stalk, he can close. This horse, is very good. 30-1. I like him as a live long shot. I'm definitely going to use him in try boxes, because I think he'll be there. And Ricardo Santana Jr. is an amazing jockey, Midwest and Kentucky jockey. So, definitely got to use him in the try boxes. Midnight Bourbon is the other one I discussed a little while ago, and breaking from the 10 hole. 20-1, you get Mike Smith aboard. I mean, he won the Triple Crown with Justify, of course. And this horse has never been out of the money in 7 times. So he's had 7 races, has been win, pleasure, show in his entire career. He's been in the mix with all these horses that have qualified here for this Derby. So I like him at 21 morning line. He's probably going to drop a little bit. I can't imagine Mike Smith going off at 20-1, but if he is, hey, good for us. So those are the two long shots I'm looking at. If you want to really go out there, you could say King Fury. He's coming off the most recent win. He got first at the Lexington. And he's got Brian Hernandez Jr. And if you're a sports fan, he's actually named after Tyson Fury, the heavyweight champion. So you have that going.
All right, just dumb it down for me real quick, because I wanted to get your expertise on. You're not going to bet $100 win bet on Superstock. You're going to get creative with this guy. You're going to take him and slide him into a ticket at a lower poll. How do you wager on Superstock? Just dumb that down for us real quick.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the three horses we talked about, Hot Rod, Charlie, Known Agenda, and Highly Motivated, and I'm going to box them with Superstock in Midnight Bourbon. So if you do a dollar try box, it's $60. You get 5 horses. Of course, you need 3 of those 5 to finish first, second, or third. Mm-hmm. If it comes in any of those orders, you're going to get paid regardless, even if it's Central Quality comes in there. So that's how I'm going to use them. I mean, if you like it, that long shot, I mean, you could even do a $5 win place show on Superstock, and it's still going to pay huge. Because like I said, he's 30-1 now. Being from the outside post, he might be 40-1, when the race starts. But, yeah, so I'm going to use those 5 in a trifecta box. I mean, it's $60. So you can do a $2 one, it'd be $120. But if it comes in, you're definitely going to get your money back, that's for sure.
I remember we were sitting at Gulfstream, man. I thought we were losing all of our money. And then after about 8 Jack and Diets, I found out we were up money. I don't know how it happened, but I think you hit a couple try boxes.
The Jacks definitely helped, but then we hit the pick 5. So that was a great day.
We hit the pick 5 that day?
Yeah, me, you, and Chucky. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, I don't even remember hitting the pick 5.
Well, you know, Christy, our bartender, you know, she made sure we didn't remember too much from that day. So, but I do remember the pick five ticket, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I hope I remember the next pick five. Maybe a pick six. Maybe we just get as crazy as can be. But I, you know what, man? I miss seeing you in Vegas, and I got to get out to Florida pretty soon, come see the old man, and then maybe swing out east and tear up Gulfstream.
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to go out to the guitar, man. They just got the sports betting out there now, so we're going to see how that turns out, you know.
Ooh.
So with the Seminoles, the Hard Rock, yeah. So that'll be fun. They just passed that law this week, so I'm excited about that.
Don't tempt me with a good time. He is Uncle Kirk. Please follow on Twitter at Winning Angle. He handicaps pretty much anything and everything, but he is the best in the biz when it comes to the ponies at Winning Angle. Uncle Kirk, wear that lavender with pride and have some fun this weekend, will you?
Appreciate it, Sammy. Good to talk to you, brother.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Uncle Kirk Rockwell for coming on the show. At Winning Angle, go give my guy a follow there. He is on the ground in Churchill Downs. He will be at the race rocking his lavender and his pimp hat, and I hope we have some creative winners here. He likes 9-1-17. So that is Hot Rod Charlie, known agenda, highly motivated. I personally like Rocky World. I'm going to get creative, throw a bunch of tickets out there, and see what sticks. We also have four bets in the hopper. Three in the draft. Actually, four in the draft if you count the flyer on 40-1 on Pitts. Pitts under 5.5, minus 40. Jones under 17.5, minus 10. Horn under 13.5, minus 15. And Sammy Pucks is going with the Bruins and the Sabres under 5.5, minus 110. Cash up tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.